But it's good to be here. And I would echo that sentiment that you need to pray for Pastor Gray. These trips are very grueling. You know, they're exciting on one side, but they're very grueling. And so what we're doing is we've got this thing called Global Roar with NRP. NRP is a network of related pastors. That's what I'm the head of. That's what this church is a part of. And we're a group of churches that work together, do mission work, pro-life work, church planting work. We team together to do those things. So right now we have, I think it's 13 schools in 10 different countries, these Global Roar schools, and they're high impact. So we send a teaching team in, usually twice a year to each of those schools, and the nationals do it. And then Pastor Gary has also teamed up with me. We launched a stateside school this year called the NRP School of Ministry. So if you feel called to ministry or know somebody who does, there'll be the July class will be taking new students in, but he teaches one of the courses there, and we teamed up recently to do that too. So thank you for loaning out Pastor Gary. We really appreciate it. We take advantage of him. We use him. We abuse him. We make him work really hard, send him home exhausted. But you need to pray for him, okay? Let's pray for him right now. Can we do that? Amen. We lift up Pastor Gary and Frank Hornsby and Susie Bastia and the rest of that team, that God, right now, that supernaturally you would endow them, that the gifts of the Spirit would flow through them, that words of knowledge and working of miracles and signs and healings, God, would precede them, God, that the pastors that they're ministering to would be stirred up, they'd be encouraged, they'd be connected together, Lord. Thank you for that Global Roar thrust to launch these schools. Thank you for these churches like this that will send their best to do it. Thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You're a part of that. You're a part of that. So that's a great thing. NRP has a lot of different things going on right now. So if you want to find out about them, you go to nrpastors.com. We have the National Women's Conference coming up. When is that, Penny? In April? April 27th through 29th, and we have a limit on registrations that we're probably going to hit, so if you want to go, you ought to get registered now. And then we've got the youth conferences coming up this summer, a lot of different things going on. You can get all that. I won't bore you with the details here, but a lot of engaging, exciting stuff. So what I want to do with today is I've got something the Lord's put on my heart just called Walking in Truth. And I want to just give you kind of four little things. I want to talk about experiencing truth. I want to talk about embracing truth. I want to talk about expressing truth. And I want to talk about exploring truth. So I'm going to give you 4 points. I just gave them. So we're just going to roll through this together. Is that all right? Amen. So, Lord, I thank you for utterance in the Holy Spirit. I thank you for our hearts being open to receive the word. Lord, give me the tongue of the learned today, Lord, as I speak from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to start in Mark, the 5th chapter. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. And you're familiar with this story, I think, if you're a Bible reader. But we're going to read about 8 or 9 verses of Scripture here. A woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians. Some of you can identify with that, huh? And had spent all she had. Well, many of us can identify with that. And was not helped at all. Ouch. But instead had become worse. But after hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she had been saying to herself, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that power from him had gone out, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing on you, and you say, who touched me? You know, this is interesting right here. You know, because sometimes we just feel like we're just a part of a mass of humanity. But you know, when we reach out, like even in worship this morning, when you reach out and you touch the Lord, he's got it. He knows you. You are unique to him. And he hears your voice and sees your heart. Just something to throw in there. And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in. You say, who touched me? And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. I want you to look at that whole truth. I'm going to spend a couple minutes there. If you'd like to underline your Bible, underline that part. And he said to her, daughter, notice how he addresses her. Before she was just a woman. But after she touches Jesus, now she's a daughter. See, you can just be a, you may be a man, but when you touch Jesus, you become a son. That's God's desire for you. Okay, and you can't miss that in this story. Her identity got changed. Her body didn't just get healed. She got understood. She came into a revelation of who she was in relationship to God. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be cured of your disease. Now she says, the Bible says here that she was like in fear and trembling, that she came into the presence of the Lord. You know, in my life, I've been privileged to be in atmospheres where there has been a supernatural presence of God. I've seen supernatural things happen. I've seen people supernaturally, physically, visibly healed by the power of God. I've seen God supernaturally intervene in people's lives. And people say, oh, that must really be exciting. I'll tell you what it is. It's fearful. When you're in the presence of God like that, there is a not a terror, but a like, I'm in the presence of the living God. Even as I speak, my body, I'm not like a real Philly person, but even as I'm talking about it, it's like there's something happening, little goosebumps are happening right now, you know? And my mind is flashing back to some of those encounters where you were like, man, you know, I've had people say to me, you know, Pastor Keith, I don't know if I want to get involved in a meeting like that. I don't know if I want to go to that prayer meeting. I don't know if I want to do this because, you know, I feel kind of awkward like that. That's a good sign. Did you know that? That's a good sign. We should feel a little bit awkward, welcome but awkward in the presence of a holy God like that. And that's what this woman was feeling. She was like, oh, I just touched Jesus and he knew I did. And now he's looking at me in the eye. And you know what her response was? This is what it says. She told him the whole truth. Now listen, I don't know what the whole truth was. And you know, when you read the scripture, it's just as interesting sometimes as what's not there is what is there. All right? The Bible doesn't tell us what her whole truth was because it's none of our business. But I imagine there were probably some details of life that she hadn't shared with anybody or very few people knew. Yet at that moment in the presence of a holy God, figuring out that all of a sudden that she was a daughter, that she told him the whole truth, and it doesn't tell us anything about it. All the juicy details are missing. You know, you flip the TV on, they get all these reality shows. Man, I don't know how many there are. There must be a lot of them. And I was just thinking about this. I think the one thing they must all have in common is they just give a lot of juicy details. I don't know if it's all real or not. I think a lot of it's staged personally, but that's just a little bit of skepticism in me. But anyway, it's all about these juicy tales. And, you know, there's something about us, right? Come on now. We, like what's the dirt? You know, like, what's the stuff? Amen, right? Think about it. Come on. You know, don't look at me in that tone of voice. I know, I mean, I get caught up in this stuff too, you know? But not Jesus. He doesn't spread our juicy details anywhere. And so to understand truth, you first have got to experience truth in the person of Christ. And the truth you've got to experience is that he wants you to touch him. He wants to look you in the eye. He wants you to be free to share your whole heart with him. Hallelujah. He wants 1 John 1:9-10 to be part of your life. Let's look at that. I think I gave that to you. What does it say? You should know this, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins, right? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Amen? Hallelujah. What a joy it is, right? See, that's the truth. When we confess sin, you know what we're really doing? We're just telling the truth to God. Now listen, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but when I confess my sin, I don't think the Lord turns to one of the angels and said, did you know that? I didn't know that. Did you know that? Like, we're not telling God anything he didn't already know. He's already prepared for all your stuff. right? But yet there's still something in us sometimes that doesn't want to just lay it all out there, right? Because it's ugly sometimes, isn't it? Or is your sin pretty? Mine's ugly. How about yours? Yeah. But thank God we have an advocate with the Father, amen? And we can run to him. We can run to him for that understanding, and we can experience truth. So that's where it starts. See, Christianity obviously has an intellectual argument, okay? There's obviously historical documentation, and those things are good, and we should study those things and understand those things. But, you know, a man with an experience will be a man with an argument every time. Are you with me? When you experience the love of God, when you become a person, when you become a son, when you become a daughter, when you get healed, when you understand that even in a crowd, God goes, ah, that one belongs to me, and that one belongs to me, and she's mine, and he's mine. I tell you, it changes the way you look at life. Amen? You're still aware of who you are. Like, you're not hiding anything, but you figured out who he really is, and it's time for rejoicing. Come on now. Amen? So number one is we have to experience truth. Notice verse 34, and I'm going to move on here. Just go to verse 34 back there. Jesus, or daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Listen, I've got a word for some people here today. It's time to go in peace. Go in peace. How do you go in peace? Understanding who you are, that you've been forgiven, that you've been cleansed, and you can go in peace. Not go in good circumstances. That's not what he said. He said, go in peace. You can go in peace. And he is the Prince of Peace. Amen? Now, next I want to talk about embracing truth. So when we experience, now we want to embrace it. We want to get our hands around it. Now, listen, I understand we live in a culture today where if you have clear convictions and you have a clear belief system, not just opinions, that and you believe in an absolute truth, there are things that are absolutely right and absolutely wrong, that there are people that actually look at you as narrow-minded, right? Have you had that experience? They look at you as being narrow because you've figured something out. Like, you've come to the conclusion. You've studied this. You've given thought to it. You've examined it. You've gone to the Lord. You've studied the scripture. You've listened to people who are walking in truth, and you've come to a conclusion. And they think because you've come to a conclusion that, you know, that you're just narrow-minded in some way. And then they come up with, like, I listen to people. You listen? Like, my truth. My truth. Like, how does that work in real life? So if I left here today, and Penny and I jumped in the car, and we're flying up Route 79, and I'm going about 90 miles an hour, which I like to do when she's not in the car. And a state trooper pulled me over and said, give me your license, give me your registration. He looks at my name and says, Mr. Tusi, you're going 25 miles over the speed limit. I would say, that's not my speed limit. That's not my truth. You know what he'd do? He'd call for backup. Because he'd say, we have a Looney Tune on our hands here. This man should not be entrusted behind a 4,000-pound vehicle with a motor in it. It's like he's driving a bullet here down the road. He's not in touch with reality. Right? What if you went into a restaurant this afternoon, ordered yourself a nice meal, and they brought you the check, and it was $25 or $30? You'd say, eh, that's not the way I do numbers. That's not my accounting. I'm on a different level. My truth is different than yours. I don't think they'd be giving you like a point bonus to come back and visit that restaurant again. Are you with me? And see, it's preposterous. The truth is we can come to conclusions. We can know truth, all right? Look at John 14, 6. You know this verse, right? And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you... No, that's not it. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John, I'm sorry. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what I'm looking for. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says, I am the way, not a way, not a truth. The. Listen, either he's Lord of everything or he's not Lord at all. He can't be a little bit Lord. He can't be a little bit God. There is no small g God in this universe. He is the King of all kings. Amen? And he is the truth personified, okay? and we can't get to the Father. There's no other way. There's no other religious system. There's no other belief system. See, that doesn't make me narrow. That makes me correct. Okay? That's what truth is. Truth will stake its claim and say, this is the way there is. If something is true, something opposite of it cannot also be true. If Jesus is the way, then there's not another way. And we're accused of being narrow when all we're doing is being correct. We're just following the truth and the way. Now, when you embrace the truth and you start walking in that, and that starts living out through you, then I think great things start to happen. Let me say it this way. Absolute truth is not confining, it's liberating. And here's why. We have a world that's in mass confusion because they can't define what a man and a woman is, for instance. Think about it. Think of the confusion because they're rejecting truth. Not just biological truth, which is pretty obvious, I think. Physiological truth, which is pretty obvious. They're rejecting the truth that in the beginning, God made man and woman. God defined that, okay? See, every time you go outside that, you add confusion. You don't add clarity. So it's liberating to say, this is what God says. And, you know, God speaks truth to every area of our life. And to the degree that we embrace that truth is the degree that we prosper in following the truth. Like, just pick an area. Well, sexuality. Okay, we hit on that one, right? Okay. How about money? Well, I think the Bible teaches us to tithe, right? To give the first fruit. So that's truth. That's something that we do. We say, okay, I'm going to do this, not because I have extra money in my budget, but because this is the right thing to do, to give God the first fruit. So we're taking that truth and we're applying it to our life. How about how we grow as believers? Like the Bible says that we shouldn't be scattered about. The Bible says we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So just coming together today, we're walking in truth. We're making a statement in truth. Being even things like we do at Bridge City, like being part of a small group, being part of a team. Where's that at? Well, that's all in the Bible. That's what Jesus did. That was the model he taught us. So as we pursue that, these are aspects of truth, okay? The God is bringing definition. He doesn't say, well, I want to save you, and then just leave your, you know, figure it out the rest. You know, you're on your own. That'd be like somebody having a baby and leaving it in the neonatal ward and just walking away and say, I'll come back in a couple of years. You hope you figure it out. But yet we have believers, okay? You can probably think of somebody that they're like, I'm a Christian, but I'm doing it my own way. They're not walking in truth. They're not pursuing truth. They're not embracing truth. They are not a lot different than the guy driving down the road just making up his own speed limit as he goes. Because they've rejected truth, okay? And they've become the God of their life in that sense. The only problem when you're the God of your life, who do you pray to? Okay? It becomes a little bit of a problem, doesn't it? So embracing truth is a critical part of that, and Jesus is the truth. When you embrace truth, it liberates you because now you know what to do. And I'm not saying knowing what to do is always easy. I'm not even suggesting that. I'm just saying now we're not in that tension. We're trying to figure out what's the right thing. We see what the right thing to do is, and now we have to pursue that rather than defend actions or attitudes or a lifestyle that are inconsistent with the truth. Okay? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So if he is, and he is, then we should follow him and what he says. Amen? And not be, I don't get defensive. I don't get worked up about it when people grill me about things. I just say, they say, you know what some people say to me a lot? They'll say, well, what's your opinion on this? I said, I really don't have one. I said, I could tell you what I believe, but my opinion is pretty worthless. Amen? This is what God's word says. If you got a problem with that, talk to him about it. I didn't write this. He wrote this. All right? So embracing the truth is something we've got to do with our whole life. I'm going to move to point three. Expressing the truth. Living the truth out. You know that truth and facts are different? I don't know if you ever thought about this or not. What makes them different? Facts are accurate, but they're subject to change. Truth is eternal. That's how you understand truth. Truth will never change. no matter who votes it in or who votes it out. Are you with me? See, the fact is, there are probably everyone in this room has had somebody in your life that said they loved you and now they don't. Anybody here not had that experience? It's just, that's a fact, right? But the truth is, God is love, the Bible says. So he will always love you, even when you're being unloving towards him, even when you're being rebellious toward him, even when God has to chastise you and try to pull you in, he's doing it because he loves you. God's love is eternal. You don't have the ability to make God stop loving you. You got the ability to make me stop loving you. But you don't have the ability to make God stop loving you, because God is love. See, facts are accurate, but subject to change. And we have to understand that. You know, we had this thing called Roe versus Wade, right, in our land that endorsed the killing of children and the lying and exploitation of women and men for that matter too. Well, that was a fact, but it was never the truth, right? It was never the truth. It was always a baby to God. God didn't change his mind when the Supreme Court changed their mind, right? So it's always been true. We have to embrace that. We have to understand that. So let me ask you this question then. If you're a Christian, if you were a Christian in Germany, let's say 1942, 1943, and you were hiding some of your Jewish neighbors in your basement, and they knocked on the door, I'm going to get you to stretch your thinking here a little bit now. And they said, are there any Jews here? And you say, as a Christian, what do you say? You say no. Did you lie? I'm trying to engage. I just want to see if you're awake here. No, walk through this with me for a minute, okay? Did you lie? Well, the Bible says we shouldn't lie. Is that what it says? No, what it says is we should not bear false witness against the truth, Exodus 20:16. So here's the truth. When they knock on the door and say, are there any Jews here we can have? The answer is no. Because the truth is, I'm not supposed to hand them over to you. That's the truth. That will always be true. That will never change. That's always God's heart. So by protecting innocent life, we bear witness of the truth. See, that is what makes historical Christianity and even contemporary Christianity so incredible, because right now we have people living out the truth. They're not living out of convenient circumstances. We've got a team right now in Kenya living out the truth. They're saying those people are just as worthy of God's blessings as we are. And the truth is, we should share what we have, so we're giving it to them. Amen? Hallelujah. In a couple weeks, I'll be back in the Ukraine. We'll be right in Kharkov. We'll be right in the war zone. And there are pastors and Christians who have refused to leave. People say, why don't they leave? I would have left, I think. But you know what they're saying? We have a mission to the people that are stuck here, and we're not leaving. They're walking out the truth. If you'd see what's happening there, you'd be proud to be a Christian. That's all I got to say. Because the Christians are basically running the country right now. I mean, anything that's happening, and it's happening through the church. NRP has funneled almost $1 million of food and stoves and flashlights and blankets and generators and it's just absolutely amazing. And other organizations, many other like ours, doing the same thing. It's the church you see on the street no matter where you go. Hallelujah. We go up to the border. They identify us. They get big, long lines, and they pull us into a special lane and wave us through. Hallelujah. That's the favor of God because of what they've seen. But these people are living the truth. We should bear witness to the truth. When we stand up to protect innocent people, when we stand up against injustice, we are bearing witness to the truth. And you know, sometimes you can tell a lie by never saying anything. You can tell a lie just by being silent in the face of injustice. Selah. Think about that a little bit. All right? All right. Amen. So the truth is, when they knock on my door and they say, are there any Christians here we can have? The answer is no. I got in trouble for this once. Actually, more than once. We were living in Florida. There was a court case rounding a bunch of pro-lifers. There was a federal injunction. Long story, I don't get, you know, the details. But basically, they had this big civil suit against us for interrupting the abortion business, which we were guilty of. Hallelujah. And they wanted me to testify against 42 different people. And I wouldn't do it. I said, I just didn't show up to testify. I was under subpoena. The judge didn't like that too much. So he said, I'm going to put you in jail. You know, it's called contempt of court. Usually you get 6 months for contempt of court. But he said he was going to give me 21 years because there were 42 people and he's going to give me 6 months apiece. Of course, it was totally illegal. The legal system does illegal things sometimes. So they had me arrested out of state somewhere and brought me back to Florida, made a big deal about it, blah, blah, blah. It all worked out. I think I only ended up spending, how many days did I spend in jail there? It was. You can't remember. She can't remember. You didn't miss me?
I'm terrible.
She didn't miss me. You were gone? I didn't know you were gone. But here's the interesting. That case went clear to the United States Supreme Court and we won. We won that case because of judicial tyranny and what they tried to do. Okay? So I'm just saying this. Sometimes it's just the truth. I'm not doing that. I'm not turning over Christians. I'm bearing witness to the truth. Amen? God wants to put some courage on ourselves. Not just self-made courage, but theological courage. We understand that if we stand for truth, we are standing for Christ. God wants there to be enough truth in you that it's not just self-contained. All right? So God wants us to express truth. He wants us to bear witness to the truth. And then my last point, I want to talk to you about exploring truth. Let's look at 3 John 1:4. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. That's a pretty clear statement, isn't it? This is the Apostle John writing, of course. And he also tells us something here, that truth is something we explore. Truth is something that we walk in. Truth is something that we investigate. Truth is something that we pursue. Leaders, whether they're male or female, whether young people or old people, one of the questions I try to ask myself as I'm engaged with them is not just what are their talents and, you know, what has God done in their life, but, like, are they a truth seeker? Like, is there something in them that, like, wants to know God, that wants to know the truth, even if it's unpleasant truth, even if it's about themselves, even if it's unpopular? Are you a truth seeker? See, that's why reading the scriptures is so important. I think sometimes in the church we treat reading the scriptures like cleaning your bedroom. Like, you know, if you ever had kids, you know, clean your bedroom, right? And they hear it so much they don't clean their bedroom. And so we come to church and the pastor says, You need to read your Bible. Okay, I'm reading my, why am I doing this? I read 8 verses. And I'm not making light of disciplined scripture reading. Please hear me. But there should be something in us that wants to eat the Word of God, that wants to feed on the Word of God. And I always tell people, I read the Bible slower now in my life than I ever have, because I just can camp. I mean, I'll crack myself up sometimes. I'll be like reading something, I'll be investigating something, and I'll look up and time has flown by. Where if I had just been like, okay, I got to read my 10 chapters today, it'd have been like, okay, so, you know how. But when you're eating the truth, and if you're missing that part of your life, you're never going to grow beyond that, okay? And sometimes we're looking for a great experience. You know, we want something to happen in church. We want Pastor Gary to prophesy to it. All good. That's good stuff. I like all that stuff. But unless we are seekers of truth, Jesus said in John 4:24, the hour has come that the Father is now seeking those who worship in spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. We want them both. Amen. So he says here, there is no greater joy. Now, you know, the Bible defines itself, okay? The greatest commentary on the scripture is the scripture. So let's read a couple verses after that. He's going to tell us how to walk in truth. Isn't this amazing? It's right there. Beloved, you are acting faithfully. In other words, you're doing exactly what I just said. In whatever you accomplish for the brothers and sisters, especially when they are strangers. Let's stop right here. The Bible clearly says this. If we say we love God whom we don't see, and we hate our brother whom we do see, we are liars, and the truth is not in us. Hello? Now that principle is true as you work it down. If we say we love God and don't love people, we're a liar. If we say we serve God and don't serve people, we're a liar. If we say we give to God and don't give to people, we're a liar. Just work it down. Just go through the Christian ethic list, okay? But here he says, look, you're doing this. You're walking in truth because of how you are treating the brothers and sisters, especially when they are strangers. So they're a brother and sister, but we haven't met them before. But we embrace them because what? We have the same Father. You know, I'll just tell you this. You know, again, I've been all over the world, been in very interesting situations. And people say, what is the greatest part of that? I'm going to tell you the greatest part of it. It's walking in a room and being with a man of God for an hour and feel like you've known him for 20 years in your life. You know, there's like five key pastors we're working with in the Ukraine right now. And these guys, it's like we are tight. We have the same Father. We got the same desire. We love Jesus. We love the church. We love his people. We want to see God do something great, you know. And if we got to feed people and bandage people and keep people warm in order to do that, bless God, count us in. Are you with me? But there's that supernatural connection. So he talks about this, and he says, and they have testified of your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. So let me just throw a little vision commercial in here. Not in my notes. So when one of your leaders gets up and says, we're sending this person to this country, would you help? Well, here's your scripture. This is how you show the love of God. You help. Maybe it's somebody you don't even know. Maybe it's somebody from another church, but they've been endorsed by the elders or the pastors. You say, well, okay, we're going to do that. I'm going to do my part in that. That's not somebody else's deal. That's my deal because I'm part of the body. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? He's teaching us how to walk in truth. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. That's pretty big worthy. Right? That requires generosity and sacrifice beyond my natural ability, right? For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such people so that we may prove to be fellow workers. Look at this phrase, with the truth. Are you a truth seeker? Are you exploring truth? Are you walking in truth? That's what gives great delight, not only to your leaders, but to the heart of God. Now, let's go to another scripture I think you're familiar with, John 8. Let's go there for a minute. My last scripture. Stay with me here for a couple minutes, okay? So Jesus, remember Jesus? Okay? That's who we're talking about today, right? So Jesus was saying this. Keith wasn't saying this. Jesus was saying this. Now here's what Jesus said. Who had to those Jews who had believed, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. Now that's what Jesus said, right? And then the next verse says what? And you shall know the truth. A lot of people know John 8:32, but they don't know John 8:31. John 8:32 says, and then you will know the truth, and what will set you free? What will set you free? The truth will set you free. I'm going to come back to this. But you'll never have freedom where you don't have truth. Many people in human bondage today are there because they believe the lie. They've embraced a lie. They've been taught a lie. And usually those lies are just in two categories. They believe the lie about God, or they believe the lie about themselves. They believe they're not a daughter. They're not a son. They're not loved. Or they believe some lie that God doesn't care, that God doesn't heal, that God doesn't intervene, that God is not interested in their life. That's only for other people. See, it's not hard to believe that God wants to do a miracle for some great spiritual person that you admire. Thank God we have people in our life that we can admire. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But you count too. Because God doesn't change. He's the same. Do you understand this? I had a young pastor ask me not so long ago. He said, Pastor Keith, if you could convince people of one thing. I thought this was a good question. If you can convince people that you were trying to pastor of one thing, what would it be? You know what I said to him? I said that we're just alike. Because we tend to look at people that we revere or have a better life than we do, or so we think, or their circumstances are better, or they haven't gone through some of the heartbreak and hardship that we go through. We tend to think that somehow they're just different than us, that they don't have the same struggles. That's a lie. Say out loud, that's a lie. And if you live in that lie, you will keep a wrapper on yourself because you will lower your expectation of what God wants to do in your life. That's good preaching. Thank you, Pastor Keith. You're welcome. So let's just look at John 8:31 for a minute here, because we know the next verse. You'll know the truth, and the truth is what's going to make you free. Some of you are in bondage today with chronic sin or chronic issues, chronic habits, chronic, you know, lack of discipline in your life, or whatever it may be, not because you're not trying hard, because you don't have fuel in your tank. You don't have truth. You're pushing your car down the road rather than driving it down the road. Your tank is not full of truth. You're sincere. You have good intentions, but truth will fuel you, because truth is what sets people free. So let's look at this. Now let's start here. Four things. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had, say the word, believed. Belief, faith, is the currency of heaven, not need. This is important. God is not moved by need, he's moved by faith. Okay? 23 times in the Gospels, it says, and Jesus did something because of their faith. Interesting. Not because of their need. Is God compassionate? Is he concerned about your need? Yes. So he's given you a spirit of faith so that you can connect with him in faith. You know what's great about that? When you have faith, you're always rich. No one can take that from you. You can be in a jail cell somewhere. You can be broke somewhere. You can be in a hospital bed somewhere. You can be alone somewhere, and you have faith. You're rich. So are you a believer? Are you a believer? Are you believing, or are you just kind of hanging out? Just catching the leftovers. Am I a believer? And then he says, if you continue in my word. That's a mouthful right there. Are you a continuer? Are you a perseverer? Do you obey the word? Is that important to you? Are you digging in and saying, God, I'm going to walk in obedience. I'm going to continue in this. I'm not going to try to forgive. I'm going to be a forgiver in Jesus' name. Because you were a forgiver. And I'm not going to say ever again, I'm not going to forgive that person. If you ever said that, just cast that word to the ground, because you're mocking God when you do it. I know you don't mean to do that, but that's a mockery against the cross. Okay? It's one of the greatest devices in the church, people that are stuck in unforgiveness. They're not continuing the word. They're looking for an emotional reaction rather than a scriptural empowerment. Okay? So when I read those verses that Jesus talked about forgiving, faith of forgiveness rises up in me, and then I walk in the truth. I don't sit here and think, well, I'm a spiritual leader, and I've done this before, and I got so much goodness in me, I can just forgive people. Yeah, it doesn't work. Truth is what sets you free. If you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, are you a continuer? Are you pursuing the truth? Are you exploring the truth? Are you walking in truth? He said there was no greater delight except for that. Then you'll know the truth. And the word know there is gnosko. It means to be intimate with something. Not just to know about something, but to experience something. To have an intimate relationship with it. I know the truth. His name is Jesus. Let's just start there. And everything he says is true. And I don't have to doubt him. And he's never going to spread my junk around. And he's going to send me off in peace. Because that's who he is. And a lot of times there are lies that are formed against our lives as schemes that attack the very things that just came out of my mouth. Are you with me? Let's be those children who delight the heart of God by saying, God, I'm going to walk in truth. I'm not going to invent my own speed limit. I'm not going to have my own number system. You say it's true. I say it's true. May not be easy, but I'm going to pursue this. I'm going to pursue truth. You tell me to forgive, I have no options, and you told me to forgive. Amen. Right? Stand up with me this morning. I sense faith in this room this morning. I believe the Lord wants to strengthen some people just to push that lid, that lie against your life off of you. Just two basic lies. Lies about God and who He is, and lies about who you are. Remember, facts and truth are different. The devil will tell you all the facts about what a loser you are and how you've done this, how you failed that, and how you messed this up. Oh, I got a list of facts about me, I can tell you. But the truth is, I'm a son of God. And he who knew no sin was made to be sin on my part that I might become the righteousness of God Christ in him. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and all things pass away, and all things have become new. That's truth. Are you walking in the truth? Are you willing to accept the truth that God said about you? And understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's the God you serve. If you're wrestling with a lie in your life that is keeping you in bondage, I'd like Penny and I to agree with you in prayer this morning. Just to take a step forward. To make a commitment to say, God, I'm going to walk in truth. I'm going to find out what that says about the thing in the scripture. And that's going to be the speed limit in my life. Whatever you say about it, that's what it is. They're not going to be carting me off to some funny farm because I make up my own rules as I go. God's truth is real. Amen. If that's you and you'd like us to lay hands on you this morning, just to stir that up in you, what God has put in you, I'd like to do that this morning, okay? If there's a lie in your life you're ready to combat, that you want freedom in, you don't have to tell me what it is. I don't need to know it. But He's created you to bear witness to the truth. Hallelujah. If that's you, you run up here right now. We're going to worship for a minute. And we're just going to believe God to stir up in your spirit what God has already put there. If you're here this morning and Jesus is not Lord of your life, and you're not exactly sure how to become a Christian, here's how you become a Christian. By inviting Christ into your life. You don't become a Christian by getting your life together and coming to church. That's what you do after you become a Christian, okay? Is anybody here today says, I want to give my life to Christ? I'm all in. I know I'm a sinner. I know I need a Savior. I heard what you said this morning, that He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. That's me. I want in. I want to be a son. I want to be a daughter. Anybody like that this morning? Amen. Hon, would you come on up with me? Good. Let's just worship the Lord. Let's just exalt Jesus this morning.